This year, today, we're beginning a new sermon series. And throughout the month of January, what we're going to look at is learning how to lean on Jesus. And as we look at that, as we talk about that, what we're going to talk about is how leaning on Jesus really helps our faith to grow. So that's what we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks through the whole month of January. Today, I'm just going to do an intro sermon to this whole series, and we're going to do that by jumping into the Old Testament. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. We'll get to that in just a moment. But this morning, I want to challenge you to do something that I don't think I've done before. I really want to encourage you and challenge you each month this year. We're going to focus on one passage of Scripture to commit to memory. And for this series called Lean, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on trying to memorize, commit to memory, and commit to application, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Now, listen, there's a lot of different ways you can go about this. You can write it down on a sticky note. Just put it somewhere where you see it each and every day. Maybe you put it on your mirror. Most of us look in a mirror every day to see what we look like before we head out. So put it there. Look at it. Let God's word into your heart. And the best way to do that is just to keep filling yourself with it. Maybe you want to write it and put it on your desk or on your computer screen or some place that you're at where you're constantly seeing this. In our home, we have a little chalkboard. And we write a passage up there that we need to work on as a family, and it stays there till we kind of got it down. And then we put something else up there. So maybe that's something you do. You can just write it on a chalkboard, just put it somewhere where it's prominent in your life, in your house, and let's allow God's word to get into us this year. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, that's okay. There should be one in the chair in front of you or beside you, somewhere around you. And if you don't own a Bible, put your name in that one. Take it home and let that be our gift to you. We just ask that you be in it every day at some point. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Many of you know this passage. Many of you already have it committed to memory. Those of you who don't, please try and do so. But here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Man, some of us go through life with a bulldozer, don't we? We try and plow out our own straight paths. But the Word of God says, trust in Him. Let Him make your path straight. These two verses may be the best known and maybe the most cherished verses in all the Proverbs. They rightly should be, I believe. These verses are very simple in their language. They inform us what the foundation of our faith and relationship with God is. And that's simply trusting in Him completely. That takes a long process, though. For many of us, each day we wake up, we prepare to enter into the unknown. We really do. We don't know what events are laying out there for us to encounter each and every day. They're shrouded in darkness. There's uncertainty lying around every corner. Trials that leave us exhausted. A backpack full of burdens. So full we don't even know how to start to unpack them. Financially, we may not know how we're going to make it. Maybe it's your health. Maybe your health is waning. Maybe relationships are shredded. Maybe you're overwhelmed with anxiety and you don't know how you can go on. Maybe you're dreading this whole new year. Jesus said to the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, God doesn't want us living in a destructive state of worry. He doesn't want that for His children. No parent would want that for their child. No good parent would want that for their child. God doesn't want us to be anxious for anything. He doesn't want us to worry, to be stressed out or overwhelmed with fear and hopelessness. God doesn't want us consumed by these destructive traits. Because when we're consumed by these things, we take our focus off our Creator. As a matter of fact, God calls them sin. We're allowing sin into our life because they lie in direct opposition with what God desires for us, His children. You see, we all depend on different things to help get us through life at times. They're all different. Some people, they have a dependence upon alcohol. Maybe you know someone who does. Maybe you're trying to help them through that right now. Some people, they depend on food. It's their comfort food. And during this time of year, a lot of us indulge in a little too much comfort food, but we have food that we depend on. Some people depend on drugs. Some depend on really harmful things like pornography. Or they escape into a world of gaming, thinking, well, I'll just leave the reality behind and enter into fantasy. Others depend on other people. Some depend on themselves. But none of these things ever alleviate. They never get rid of the stress, which is exactly what God wants to do for us. He wants us to come to a point that we can realize that all these things are futile. He wants us to look at Him with a wholehearted trust. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants to grant us the true peace with a life of purpose and direction that only comes through that personal relationship with Him. Listen to our text one more time. Just listen to it. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, not in some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. I hope that's a passage that you will commit to memory. You'll own it as your own. You see, God's Word has a lot to say about leaving stress and leaving worry and hopelessness behind and embracing the peace and the joy and the comfort that comes from Him alone. God's Word to Solomon and to us this morning gives us three commands that I want to share with you, and I want to encourage you to implement in your life, and they're really straightforward. In order for us to learn to lean on God, we must first trust God. Now, that sounds pretty easy, but that can be a tall order for most of us to live out. You see, the word trust in the Hebrew language is the word batak, and it means trust, it means confidence, it means secure, bold, hope, and sure. Does that describe your life as being one dependent upon God? Are you sure because of your dependence upon God? Is your hope based on your dependence on God? Are you able to be bold for Him because you trust in Him? Or when your faith is challenged, do you cower? Do you back down? This phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart, paints a vivid picture of someone laying prostrate before on the ground before the Lord in complete surrender because you fully trust the mercy of the one who stands before you. It's a picture of worship. We cannot trust someone we don't know, though. And that's the secret to learning to trust God. When someone says, trust me, we can have one or two reactions. Either we can say, yeah, I'll trust you, or we can say, why should I? And I just want you to think about your relationship with God. Is your relationship with God one where you say, yeah, I can trust you, God, or why should I? I don't know you well enough to trust you. Only you can answer that question. No one else can answer that for you. In God's case, trusting Him naturally follows when we understand why we should trust Him. And there are some reasons why we should trust Him. So if you're here this morning and you've never placed your trust in God, I'm glad you're here. I really am. Some people go to church all their life, sit and listen to sermon after sermon, sing song after song, and have never learned to trust in God. So if you haven't, I'm glad you're here. The main reason we should trust God is simply because He's worthy of our trust. He really is. Sounds like a redundant statement. Let me explain. Unlike men, God never lies. Unlike men, God never fails to fulfill His promises. Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Unlike men, He has the power to bring to pass what He plans and purposes to do. Isaiah recognized this in Isaiah 14. He said, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. You see, what God says and what God intends on, God does. Furthermore, His plans are perfect. His plans are holy. His plans are righteous. And He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His holy purpose. Now, if we desire to know God through His Word, we will see that He is worthy of our trust. And our trust in Him, it will start to grow a little more each and every day. This is not a one-and-done thing. A relationship with God is daily. It's ongoing. To know Him is to truly trust Him. If you don't take time to know Him, you can't trust Him. How much time are you spending on getting to know God each and every day? That's the simple question. We can learn to trust God also as we see how He has proven Himself to be trustworthy in our lives and in the lives of others. After Solomon prayed a prayer of dedication in the temple to the Lord, he stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, saying in 1 Kings 8, he said, praise be to the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel, just as He promised. Not one word, listen, this is a testimony about God, not one word has failed of all the good promises He gave through His servant Moses. Not one word. The record of God's promises is here in His Word for all to see, for all to put on trial. And He proves Himself to be faithful. There's no shortcuts. This takes you taking the time to dig in and to get into God's Word so that you can learn for yourself that you can truly trust Him. Every Christian can give personal testimony to God's trustworthiness as we see His work in our lives. Now, those of you that have come to know Christ, you know what your life used to be, and you know where it is today. You know that you didn't have the power to overcome those demons that were in your life, but only through Christ were you able to overcome those, no matter what they may be. And there may still be challenges. There are still challenges out there for you to encounter each and every day. Satan's going to attack all the time. So that means that we have to go to God each and every day. We must learn to trust in Him. The more we experience His grace, the more we experience His faithfulness and His goodness, I believe the more we will trust in Him. The psalmist declared, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness, listen, not your faithfulness, His faithfulness continues through all generations. He's a God worthy to be trusted. Another reason to trust God is that we really have no sensible alternative. You going to trust science? Math? Should we trust in ourselves, maybe? In others who are sinful and unpredictable and unreliable? We're going to trust in those who have limited wisdom and who frequently make bad choices? People who are swayed by emotions? Or are we going to trust in God's all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, gracious, merciful love that is communicated to us through His Word? His intentions are good for us. The choice should be obvious. But oftentimes we fail to trust God because we don't know Him. We cannot hope to trust in someone who is essentially a stranger to us. But that's easily remedied. God has not made Himself difficult to find or to know. All we need to know about God He has graciously made available to us in His Word. One pastor said, it wasn't Allah who loved me enough to send His one and only Son to die for me. It wasn't Muhammad who took His cross and stamped pardon on my soul to save me from hell. It wasn't Buddha or Confucius who divinely inspired the writing of the infallible, inerrant Bible. It isn't the Reverend Moon who gives me a peace that passes all understanding. It isn't Merrill Lynch or Charles Schwab who provides my every need. It isn't some New Age crystal that heals my diseases. It isn't the stars that give direction and meaning to my life. It is the Lord who has done all of this. He has proven time and time again that He can be trusted. Paul says in one of my favorite passages, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That happens as we know God, then we can trust Him. In order to learn to lean on God, there's something else we have to do. We have to resist to lean on ourselves, so we can't lean on ourselves. Leaning on our own understanding is obviously the natural contrast to trusting in the Lord. It just is. It's there. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Not lean on himself. That's what he's saying. Take up his cross daily and follow me. The world shouts, screams, if you will, in our ear, the idea of self-dependence and self-reliance. Yet Jesus wants self-denial. That's what he desires. You see, the world wants us to trust ourselves, to lean on our own understanding. Jesus wants us to trust him and lean not on our own understanding, but rather his. God wants us to realize that our thinking and our reasoning is flawed. That should make sense to everyone here. He wants us to realize that our emotions and our feelings are oftentimes contrary to His will. He wants us to realize that when we lean on our own understanding, we neglect the life of faith and utter dependence on Him that He desires. God tells us in Isaiah 55, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I really believe this self-movement in our culture has had greater impact than we can imagine on both the church and the unchurched. Why should I pore over the scriptures for a solution when I can trust in my own experience? That's what culture tells us. Why should I depend on the Lord through prayer when I can act based upon my own dreams and visions? You ever heard people in the church say those things? Why should I seek counsel from godly individuals when I can be led by my feelings? We rarely want to trust the Lord. Rather, we often look for the quick fix that will be least detrimental to our autonomous lifestyle. Folks, about 25 years ago or so, I thought my younger brother had lost his ever-loving mind. I thought he was making one of the biggest mistakes in his life. This guy was a great punter, and colleges were looking at him, and he was going places. And then he started attending this church in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, that was pastored by Mike Bro. Some of you know Mike. And over time, my brother accepted Christ. He was baptized. And the next thing I knew, this guy's given up an opportunity to play college football to go to Lincoln Christian College in Lincoln, Illinois, to study to be a youth minister. I thought he was nuts. I really did. I was not a Christ follower, and I thought, what are you doing? You are wasting this talent that you have and all this stuff. And then several years later, I gave my life to Christ. I wanted to go into ministry too. I looked at a couple of different colleges, and finally I felt at home at Lincoln Christian University. And I thought, man, I got to be nuts. Because the day I moved in, it was 28 below zero, and there was 18 inches of snow. And I said, what are you doing, you idiot? Everything was closed. But I went to Lincoln. And after about 3 years of being there, kind of fell for this little curly-haired blonde with blue eyes who became my best friend, who was never going to go to Lincoln, who was never going to marry a preacher. I was never going to be a preacher. God brought us together in Lincoln. I went into preaching. She married a preacher. The rest is history. Folks, God works in mysterious ways. Things we say we're never going to do, you end up doing. But only when we learn to trust in Him. He didn't make me go into preaching. I fought Him. He didn't make me go to Lincoln. He didn't make her go to Lincoln. But when we trust in Him, He ends up laying out a straight path for us. We need to trust Him because often He works in a way that we can't even start to understand. We dare not think we have Him all figured out either. God's never accountable to us. He doesn't owe us an explanation for His actions. He doesn't. I know we think He does, but He doesn't. We're simply called to trust in Him. We're called to lean on Him. We're called to live the life of faith, trusting in Him and not leaning on self. So I want to encourage you to do that this year. And in order to lean on God, I believe we have to also acknowledge Him. We have to acknowledge Him in everything. This was Solomon's point as we get to this third command. In the beginning of verse 6, we read, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him." What's that mean? Have you ever sat down and thought about what's it mean to acknowledge God? I mean, I acknowledge Him, I pray to Him, I tell people about Him. Is that what it means? Well, I believe it means that we recognize that He is God and we are not. You are not the God of your life. He is. It means we acknowledge this. We acknowledge His authority over us. Oh, you mean I don't have authority? No, God has authority over you. No matter what we're doing, no matter what we undertake, we expect God to direct us. Now, it doesn't mean we're blind puppets. But I expect there to be a movement in my life that is more than me, more than what I can accomplish. And I acknowledge Him. And that won't happen if I don't acknowledge Him. I have to acknowledge Him. I have to recognize Him. Take the verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It's a great passage of Scripture. Whatever you do, Paul says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean, do it in the name of? It means that I do it on behalf of Him. This is how I acknowledge Him. I do things, I live my life in place of Him. So no matter what I set out to do, whether it's to give a lecture or to preach a sermon or to write or to run a combine or to build a house or to pour concrete, go to class, play ball, hang out with friends or driving on the road or answering a phone, cleaning a building, it doesn't matter. I say to myself, how would Jesus do this? How can I acknowledge Him in everything I do? And I do it on His behalf. You see, what we're talking about is living a life of discipleship, and that means leaning or learning to acknowledge God in all we do. And it takes a lot of learning. You actually never get done learning because you're always learning, and increasingly you're always able to acknowledge Him in all your ways, or we should be able to. You're able to do everything you do in word and deed on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors. We represent Christ to everyone, so we must acknowledge Him. As you do that, among other things, I believe your fear, your anxiety, all those things we talked about, they start to disappear. You aren't out there trying to do it by yourself. You're actually watching God in action in your life. You stop second-guessing yourself because you didn't do it right, or whatever it is, and you start to gain a confidence, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. That's what the gospel is all about, being accepted by God right where you are, that He put you right where you are. You're in your world to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and it's God who makes that possible. You accept the fact that you're finite. You accept the fact that you make mistakes, that you're not perfect. And in doing this, you get on with the work that God has appointed to flow through your life as you become the person that God intended you to be. You see, God wants interaction with you, and more than interaction, God wants intimacy with us. We can have intimacy with God when we acknowledge Him, when we trust Him, when we stop leaning on our own understanding. You see, we're to acknowledge God in all our ways, in all our planning, in all our thinking. What would God want me to do in this situation? When's the last time you've been encountered with a decision, with a choice? Just think back to it. Probably over the last month or so, you've had to make some choices about some things. Did you seek God first? Is that who you went to first? No matter how small or how large, He wants us to acknowledge Him in all our ways, in all our planning, in all our thinking, in all our dreaming, in all our activities, in all our spending, in all of our decisions. The small as well as the large, the personal as well as the corporate, the temporal as well as the eternal. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. We are to do all things so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Colossians 1:18. It's what Paul tells us. We are to do all things in Colossians 3:17 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? So that in all things, 1 Peter 4 says, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, acknowledging God in all things is the biblical call for the Christian. Are you willing to forsake yourself and stake your life on this command? Serious question for serious followers. Are you willing to forsake yourself and stake your life on this command? If we trust God, lean not on our own understanding, and acknowledge Him, there's a great promise for us. When I lean on God, He makes straight paths. When we cast ourselves into the loving arms of God, He directs us down the best road possible. Not the winding rivers, but straight roads. Even when the road is bumpy and unexpected turns jump up, we can walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that God is in the driver's seat. He's in control, and His plans for us are perfect. Whether that's building a godly marriage, raising godly children, growing up spiritually, or obtaining what God has for us, the Lord wants to get us there. Just like any trip you take, the quickest way to get to your destination from point A to point B is a straight path. And so it is with our spiritual lives as well. A crooked path is one filled with twists and turns. And if we're not careful, it'll cause us to end up in a ditch called sin. If that should happen, I'm glad God's there to pull us out. But the best route, stay in the middle of the road and on course with God. Proverbs 4:27 says, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let God make your path straight. Follow that. You can do that by learning to trust in Him, not leaning on your own understanding, and acknowledging Him in all things. You see, God has a great vantage point over our life. He's the one who is all-knowing. And if we'll get God involved in straightening our path, we're going to reach our destination in the things of God much quicker. We'll realize that He's the one who straightens our path. That doesn't mean that it's always going to go the way you think it's going to go, because remember, you don't know what's best. God does. God usually takes us through life on a route that we never expected before. But that's what walking by faith is all about. And as I learn to lean on Jesus, I pray that my faith grows. So I pray that you'll join me in this journey this year as we all learn to lean on Jesus.